Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The most fun I've had, and I'll be honest, I don't think people like me to the extent they like me. And I know if you don't, a bunch of you don't like me. But to the extent that I've been successful at all as a columnist at the Commercial Appeal, it's not because of my hot takes on a particular game or a particular coach. It's because I write about Memphis people that we care about and who should be written about. And I was just looking last night, I was going through some of the stories, and I'm just going to name some of the people that I've written about over the years. And I don't know how many clicks these columns would generate in the world of clicks. But when George Lapidus was diagnosed with what would prove to be a fatal respiratory disease, he told me that his goal, he had a bottle of Bordeaux from 1964, and he wanted to make it to drink that bottle of Bordeaux with his wife on his 50th wedding anniversary. And by the way, he did. When Allie Prescott was rebuffed, the obvious candidate to be the Memphis athletic director, when he was rebuffed from that job, literally picked for that job by the committee, but then overlooked anyway, overruled, as they went out and get R.C. Johnson, Allie Prescott said, fine. And he rolled up his sleeves, and he went to work for the Redbirds, and he helped create a minor league ballpark downtown that has changed the trajectory of downtown. I did a column on Claude Humphrey. Claude Humphrey, obviously the great defensive lineman for the Atlanta Falcons, who was inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame after his wife, Sandra, had died. Sandra had been his biggest supporter. And he had really mixed feelings about going into the Hall of Fame without Sandra. And I asked him if he had a favorite picture of her back home. And he was totally stumped. He said, every picture she ever took, my wife never took a bad picture. She was beautiful. I did a column on Larry Breadman Connolly, kid who dropped out of school at 13, literally became a bread man, delivered bread. That's what he did. Also became one of the best golfers in the area. He would go tearing up to a golf course in his bread truck before the start of a round. One of the best amateur golfers in the area. Also had a son named Bubba. That son was killed in a car accident. Car was hit by a train. And so Larry Breadman Connolly started one of the great junior golf tournaments in the country, in the Bubba Connolly golf tournament. Bruce Lamy. Bruce Lamy is a Memphis Tiger football fan. Just a guy. He loved to play golf. He was diagnosed with cancer. And in the end, when his days were running low, his friends sprang him out of hospice so he could go play one last round of golf. D'Angelo Williams. I think my favorite man, D'Angelo Williams memory, and there's a lot of them, was the day that he decided to come back to Memphis. Even though, let's be honest, for a running back with his pedigree, running backs take a certain amount of pounding and then they're done. It made no sense at all for him to come back to Memphis. But he got up there and he said he absolutely didn't want to be anyplace else. He said, there's nothing like running through that tiger head when it's inflated. And people laughed because, of course, that was the year when a couple times it had not been inflated. Julie Clary is the daughter of Mike Clary, former athletic director at Rhodes. She was diagnosed with breast cancer that subsequently moved to her brain. And she called me from Houston, MD Anderson at Houston, to talk to me about a column I was doing. At the time, she didn't know the results of her scans for the next morning, whether the cancer had left her brain or not. But she talked to me about the goodness that she had experienced through the entire process, how she had gone to get a wig. And I guess the most expensive wigs are made of natural hair. And her mother said, you know what, we're going to make this possible for you. And so they went out and they picked out this incredibly, the nicest wig they could find made of real hair. And I think that's true. And they went down and Julie took out her credit card. And the person behind the desk said, your friends have taken care of that for you. Liz Fleming is a woman who was diagnosed with cancer the same time her daughter was discovered she had triplets. And so it was this unbelievable story of life and death and the best of life and the hardest parts of life. And she made it. The triplets were born. And there were nights as she got weaker where they would go on walks around the neighborhood and they'd be pushing Liz in her wheelchair and the three kids in a stroller. And the whole neighborhood would come out and join them on these walks around the neighborhood. They ended up, as it worked out, Liz passed away, and the same weekend that she was buried, the three triplets were christened. Dante Davis is a 13-year-old kid whose mother was a drug addict and disappeared. Never really knew her. Father took off at when the kid was five. Raised the way a lot of too many people are raised in Memphis, by a whole lot of by his grandmother, going from house to house in the hardest way possible. He happened to be a talented artist, and he stumbled into something called the Carpenter Art Garden in Binghamton, which was across the street from the school. And they were trying to raise money to take this old converted falling down house and turn it into an actual house where they could have this art garden where if it rained, kids would have a place to do their art and have study halls and that kind of thing. And so they were trying to raise money, and Dante came up with this idea. He said, how about if I paint these grizzlies yard hearts, is what they call them. Hearts planted in the ground with grizzlies' faces on them. And I'm going to take that money and I'm going to give it to the Carpenter Art Garden to help raise money for the house, what they call the Purple House. They sold thousands and thousands and thousands of those grizzlies' hearts. You see them everywhere around town. Every one of those hearts, ladies and gentlemen, is painted by who was then 13-year-old, he's older now, Dante Davis. Every once in a while, Aaron Harris, who runs the art garden, would insist that some of that money go to Dante, his grizz money, they called it. And he'd take out some money every once in a while and use it for something else. She said, use it for something else. So the first time he did, he said his class did particularly well on an English test. And he said, I want to get wings for my class with my grizz money. So that's what he did. Another time he wanted to take the whole family bowling. So use some of the money, take the whole family bowling, including paying for the gas. He finally said, I want a bike. And they bought a bike. And the bike was so used and overused in the neighborhood that it got destroyed very quickly because he'd let anyone use it. And so the folks from Victory Bike Studio over there on Broad, they gave him a brand new, fabulous bike. What did the police think? It was stolen. Since then, it has developed that they have started a bike repair business over in Binghamton. And Dante Davis can now repair your bike, ladies and gentlemen. They have a little bike repair business. There's a million others. Remember Jimmy Keep? I did a column on Jimmy Keep. Jimmy Keep was the World War II veteran of Iwo Jima who became friends with Zach Randolph because he loved the way that Zach would bust people's asses. Jade Rogers, one of our favorites. We've had her on this show. Jade Rogers has cerebral palsy. She's a Grizz fan. She would, if she ever got to feel like life was too much for her, she would play Grizzlies highlights and say, you know what? They're tired, and look how hard they keep working. If they can do it, I can do it too. Phil Cannon started volunteering at this golf tournament when he was a kid. He wound up becoming head of the golf tournament. He lost his first wife to an aneurysm, fell in love again, then was diagnosed with cancer, and died too young, I believe, at the age of 63. And I asked him if he ever felt sorry for himself. He said, you can't feel sorry for yourself very long when you look at all these bald little girls, meaning the St. Jude kids. Eric McMahon, I don't mean to out him, but he's the guy in the Grizz uniform. He was diagnosed with cancer and spent a year fighting it. You don't think a furry bear is getting cancer. But honestly, the stories that he told about the way that all the other mascots around the league supported him, I don't know. It shows you don't need a trampoline to bounce back. Dennis Freeland used to be the editor of the Flyer. I remember when he was, and some of these stories, too many of them are sad, but when Dennis Freeland was in his last days, he made a videotape of himself talking and giving advice to his daughter, Feroza. I ran into Feroza on the street the other day. She's in her 20s now, and she's doing great. Morris Fair, county commissioner, Republican, on the county commission, in the midst of the Grizzlies' fight as to whether we could build FedEx Forum. It was always going to pass in the city council. No one doubted that. It was always going to pass in the city council. But would it pass in the county commission? Nobody knew. Morris Fair, Republican, fiscal conservative. All of his constituents said, Morris, vote against that. He looked at the numbers. He thought they made sense. He voted for it. In the next Republican primary, because of that vote which proved critical to the passage and one of the reasons the Grizzlies are here today, he lost the primary to John Willingham. That vote cost him his career. That is a profile in courage. Wrote a column about Mary from Midtown. I don't know if you remember. You're probably too young for Mary from Midtown. Mary from Midtown was one of these radio voices who was just, she'd call. She had this incredibly raspy voice, and she'd call all the time on the radio. Mary from Midtown, the characters that make a city great. Stan Bronson showed up once upon a time many years ago. His mother didn't know what to do with him. Stan Bronson was a kid who you'd, I guess these days, call special. And so his mother said, gosh, went over to Memphis football and got together with Spook Murphy and said, is there anything you could do to help me give my son something to do? And Spook said, hey, have him show up tomorrow. He showed up for more than 50 years, became the bat boy for the Memphis Tiger baseball team, and is in the Guinness World Book of Records for the longest serving bat boy ever. Scott Patterson, leading scorer. I believe he might still be the leading scorer at MUS or one of, and at Rhodes. He lost his sight to a brain tumor, and he subsequently lost his life to a different form of cancer. And when I talked to his wife about it, he said, you know, he'd completely remade his life after he lost his sight. He'd still go on runs, and he'd come back totally scraped because he'd run into trees and stuff like that. He would play golf. His brother would stand over the hole and put his feet on either side of the hole and say, and just talk so Scott could hit it in that direction. But what I remember most is his wife said they'd still go on long walks to look at the moon. And she said, I'd tell him where the moon was in the sky. It's like 2 o'clock. And she said, I never know if he saw it. but he always said he did. Murray Armstrong, Tennessee football player who moved to the university, who moved to Tennessee, who moved to Memphis just to get some job, and stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed. And the whole generation of Memphis football players, Memphis athletes, who were woken up by Murray Armstrong, who would give anything to be woken up by Murray Armstrong one more time. He was, among everything else, he was sort of the dorm father. I asked him why a Tennessee guy stayed in Memphis. He said, I came here, and it just seemed like everyone loved me. Derek Barton. Derek Barton was a great junior tennis player in England. Everyone thought he was going to win Wimbledon. He was easily the best junior tennis player in England. And then the war came. And he went and served. And by the time the war was over, he was no longer in his prime. And he never made it to Wimbledon. He ended up moving to Memphis. He became the coach at Rhodes. Worked at the university club for a long time. Coached a lot of players. Touched a lot of lives. And then subsequently died. And someone got the idea, like, wouldn't it be cool if some of his ashes could be sent back to England, where he's from, could be scattered in England. And so someone was here for the Lenten series, the speaker series downtown, and a British priest. And that British priest said, hey, I could take his ashes, and I'll scatter them in England. And so they gave him some of the ashes. And then they didn't hear anything. The family didn't hear anything and anything. Didn't hear anything. And they finally got sent an email and said, hey, anything with Derek's ashes? And they finally got an email back. And he said, from a guy who said, I'm sitting in the royal box at Wimbledon with the Archbishop of Canterbury. When this match is over, we are going to spread Derek's ashes at center court. So the guy who was always supposed to end up at Wimbledon did end up at Wimbledon. I could go on like this for another hour. Stories about Memphians for Memphians. It's been the best part of my job, and it's why I have fallen in love with this place and why, although I'm leaving the paper, I'm not leaving Memphis. It's funny, on that point, and later on, I'm going to go over the five things I was most right about and the five things I was most wrong about in my time in the commercial appeal. Was one of the things, foreshadowing here, I was most wrong about was Zach Randolph. I wrote a column saying it was the worst thing the Grizzlies could do would be to bring in Zach Randolph. And, of course, it turned out to be absolutely maybe the best thing. And I talked to him about this one day. And I talked about, like, why did he feel that way about the city? What was the connection? And so I'll leave it at this, because Zach Randolph, the greatest Grizzly, said it, but he was speaking for me too. He said, I feel like I'm from Memphis. It's never felt like this any place else. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to examine whether I lied when I was talking to Gary Parrish about this on Thursday, was it, Jeffrey?
Indeed it was, sir.
On Thursday. Did I lie when I was talking to Gary Parrish about this on Thursday? It's Jeff Gawkins, 93.9 FM ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.